What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hey, what up? It's Meghan Trainor.
Yo, this is Justin Bieber.
Hey, it's Ariana Grande. Just the Interviews,
a Zach Sang Show exclusive podcast.
Hey, beautiful human. Thanks for clicking on our conversation with B. Miller. I love this human being. She is so incredibly talented, and yeah, her music deserves your ear. Feel Something is a record that's blowing up now, but it was really released and made back in 2019. We're going to dive into that. Plus, she has an EP on the way. Okay, here we go.
Let's do this.
Zach Sang Show. This is so exciting. B. Miller, not in the flesh, but the digital flesh here. Welcome back.
I don't know if I like digital flesh.
Yeah, I hate it. I hate Zoom. I hate everything that's not real. I wish reality was back to normal. But you know what? It isn't. We have to accept it. And do you think if we weren't going through this pandemic, you would have hit record?
No. I actually don't. I think that the only reason that Feel Something is doing as well as it is right now, or I guess now it's kind of like falling a little bit again, but the reason it was doing so well is because, I mean, we're all just sitting inside and we're all just trying to like relate to our surroundings, but our surroundings are so bland and like they never change now that we're all just sitting in our houses every day, that I guess it's like everybody is experiencing this lack of like excitement and like emotion overall. Which is why I think it started like blowing up on TikTok back like a year after I dropped it. Like nobody cared about it. It plateaued already and it was like, bye. And I was like, all right, on to the next. And then it was like, oh, here's Feel Something. And I hate to be like, oh, thank you, like pandemic, for my newfound success. That really sucks. It makes me feel like an ass.
No,
like I'm profiting in some way off of everyone's misery. But it wasn't intentional.
Well, one, this song has really captured the way a lot of people feel, if not most people, right? And we are just looking to feel something again. Because being home, marinating in the same energy leads to numbness. That's just the truth.
But yeah,
you released a song June 2019, and you have a very interesting relationship, not just with the music industry, but also like data. I remember like, I want to understand your head when you wrote this record, because I think it is connected to the success that the record is having, even if it's a year afterwards. So take us back to June, or when did you make it? It was sometime in 2019, right?
I don't know. I don't keep up with what I'm doing. I just kind of like put something out. I just drop it into the world and I'm like, okay, bye. Like I'm done. That was my whole thing. So I don't know. Maybe you're probably right. What do you mean keeping up with the data?
No, I
mean,
no. I remember hanging out. Do you remember when we ran into each other at a dispensary?
Mm-hmm.
And I was with Jack and Ryan of AJR, and we
went back to your apartment because you guys were like, I don't know how to roll. I was like, I can help you. That was so funny. Because you lived like, I don't know, do you still live there? You live like 5 minutes from my apartment anyway. I was like, let's get it.
I moved from that place, but I lived 2 minutes away from the dispensary, and we all hopped in your Jetta, and you drove us back to the house, and we had a great time.
Yep.
But while we were hanging out on the balcony, I remember you talking about, and everybody talking about, what numbers mean, right? Like that could be numbers beyond Instagram. It could be streaming data. It could be the number of Spotify fans you have every month. It could be anything. And that was probably around 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I want to understand where your head was at when you sat down to write this song. It came out June 2019. How many months prior to release did you write it?
Probably at least 3 or 4. Because unfortunately, when you're on a record label, it takes a very, very long time to release things. Even they could have been finished for years. And then, you know, now all of a sudden you have to pretend that they're brand new, which is frustrating to say the least. I wrote that song probably in early 2019, if not even late 2018. Like, it could have been like closer to a year between, you know, writing it and releasing it. This one is hard for me to keep track.
Well, that's what I want to understand, because the conversation that we were having this one time was really how your music is attached to your existence in a sense. Like you are the music you put out. And I think when we were all hanging out, I know it was like a weird time. It was a dull time for a lot of us. But you were talking really about just what your music means to you, but also at the same time, I don't know, I'm just trying to, like, it's so fascinating that a song that really talks about your want to feel something again has become so big a year after it existed. But I think this is allowing you to feel again. I think maybe, like, is that kind of correct here? Because this is something you wanted and something you definitely deserved for a long time.
I don't know about that, but I don't know. That's back to what I was saying before, where it's like, yes, I guess I have been feeling more excited about what I'm doing recently, because it feels like people finally care, which is like, it's not that I make music so that I can have like the most successful career out of anyone in the world. It sucks sometimes when you create something that you think is really cool, but nobody else really gives. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like, what am I even, maybe I should just go to college and like not do this anymore. So it does feel satisfying that after like 7 years, people are finally starting to care. But at the same time, like, yeah, I guess I do feel excited about that. But at the same time, it's unfortunate that it's because of this lack of everything. So it is weird that, you know, because you watch the numbers and you see that, like, oh, they, you know, most songs after a couple weeks, maybe a couple months after you release them is when they peak. Usually it's a few weeks. They peak and then they just kind of start to fall off because people find something new, especially nowadays. People's attention spans for anything is so short that, you know, they're really into something, but then, like, you know, Drake drops a new song and it's like, okay, we don't care about this anymore. So, you know, I definitely was like looking at those numbers and it's very weird. You can like go through my like Spotify for artists and you can see that like it went up last year in like June or July or whenever it came out, and then it kind of started slowly going down. It was like way, 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 way down. And then all of a sudden in like, I don't know, maybe April or May of this year, it just spiked again out of nowhere. And it was literally because of an app. It's because people mashed it up with that Labyrinth song from Euphoria. And now it's honestly weird when I listen to my own song. Now I'm like waiting for the like Stranger, like I'm waiting for it to come in. That's not even my song. They just made, and then it just completely changed everything. And then we had to like reshift my entire EP release to kind of wait to see what happened with Feel Something and try to keep pushing that, which was a year old at that point. So that was super weird to have to like push everything, because we were going to release the EP like 2 or 3 months ago originally, but then we were like, oh, Feel Something's doing well, so we should just kind of put everything on pause and kind of re-promote that,
which by the way is like the right thing to do. And then I just want to know, like, what is something to you? Like what is, like, how do you define something? Like, you want to feel something, what do you want to feel?
Something could be anything. I don't know, I self-sabotage a lot sometimes when I'm too uninterested with my life and my surroundings and I need like inspiration, I will purposely make myself sad because it's more fun in a weird way to be sad than to be nothing. I can't really describe it. That might just be me, 'cause I'm like a little bit of a psycho, but sometimes like I'll purposely like look through old memories of like things that make me upset and like play sad music and light candles and get in my feelings just so I can be in my feelings, which is really dumb. So, you know, sometimes I go out of my way to make myself even like miserable just so I can focus on that, because it brings me more inspiration, which I need in order to, like, first of all, live as a human, because I, I am a very emotional person typically. So if there's a lack of that, I feel really weird and like don't know who I am. But also, you know, for creating music, what the f- am I supposed to write about if I'm not having any type of significant emotional connection with anything? But it could be also like happiness would be ideal, but it's really hard to feel happy. Like it's hard to like try to be happy. It's really easy for me to make myself sad. It's more difficult for me to make myself happy because I have to like go out of my way to like do something to make myself feel good.
Yeah, so
it's like, but anything.
It's way easier to feel sad than it is to feel happy.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I think that's part of what's wrong with the youth of the world is that we're all just sad.
What makes you happy? Do you remember?
What an upsetting way to phrase that. It's like, do you remember because you haven't left your house in so long?
And you're fighting with your neighbors?
She can probably hear me right now below me. She's the worst. She gets mad when I'm on Zoom sometimes because she's like, you're having a party. I'm like, I'm the only one in my house. What are you talking about? But I guess our walls are really thin. I got to move. I don't know. What makes me happy? I guess the thing that I can't have the most right now is like being around people who make me feel good about myself and doing activities that I can't do by myself. I mean, I even like little things like going out to breakfast with somebody and just like sitting and observing. I really miss people watching. That used to make me really happy, which I know is probably a weird thing to say. I'm kind of a creeper. Oh. I love people watching and I miss people. People aren't out and about anymore the same way that they used to be. And if they are, they shouldn't be. And it's like, I miss people. That used to make me happy. I miss like going and seeing my friends, obviously, like we all do. I miss traveling. Every time I've been watching anything that takes place literally anywhere but Los Angeles recently, it hurts me physically because I'm like, damn, I wish I could go to like Paris right now.
But nah. But
they're not about to let us back for a long time. If I was any other country, I'd be like, bye, Americans. Like, y'all could just stay there and deal with your bullshit by yourselves.
Zach Sang Show.
Yo, beautiful human. I'm hitting pause real quick to talk about trains. It can be a little frustrating, especially if you're in a hurry or running late to find yourself at a railway crossing. I get it. And I understand that if the signals aren't going and the train's not even there yet, you may be tempted to try to sneak across the track. Well, don't. Ever. To the naked eye. Trains often appear to be further away than they are and moving slower than they are. You got to know that they can't stop quickly. So even if an engineer hits the emergency brake, right away, it can be over a mile until the train stops. Over a mile. By that time, it's too late and the result could be a deadly crash. The point is, you can't know how quickly a train will arrive. The train can't stop quickly. Even if it sees you, it ends in disaster. If the signals are on, that means the train is on the way. And you just need to remember one thing. Stop. Trains can't.
Zach Sang Show.
Has the meaning of this record changed over the year that it's been out and about for you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, when I wrote the song, I felt very alienated in the experience of not like really relating emotionally to the things that were happening around me. Like it was a very brief moment in time. It was maybe like a month where I just felt very disconnected, which is very the opposite of who I am. I'm always very emotionally invested in everything. I just felt this lack and it was really weird and I couldn't hang out with my friends because I just felt like I was like almost like watching them on TV because I couldn't actually connect to what they were talking about. I stopped listening to music because it didn't make me feel like I didn't feel invested in it. I just didn't care. And it was really, really weird and lonely, but I also didn't feel the weight of the loneliness. You know what I mean? It was very weird. And I felt
it's isolating. It's like self-isolation.
It is. I didn't even care that I was isolated because I couldn't feel the weight of that. And now, you know, I'm experiencing that again, but I think we all are now. So the meaning of the song has changed to me because I wrote this kind of about me and like a random thing that I was going through. And I was like, people aren't really going to get this. Like, you want to feel something? Like we all feel things every day. Like I kind of thought that, you know, it sounded cool, but then maybe the lyrics weren't going to connect to other people the way that they obviously connected to me. But now I just think that that's like the overall vibe for everyone is that, I hate that I just use the word vibe. I couldn't think of anything else, but like, that's the overall experience, I guess, for everyone is that there's just a lack of everything.
Dude, we're numb. I'm telling you, we are numb.
And it sucks. It's not fun. Like I have more fun being miserable than being like, eh, I don't really care.
Well, that's like, I feel like we've gotten so used to existing in this weird misery that it's just become accepted. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, like, I don't know.
So you don't even like really feel the sadness. Like I just see really things every single day on my Twitter and I'm like, eh.
Yeah.
Oh, well,
yeah.
I guess we're all going to die one day. So I can't be invested in this.
It's bad,
dude. It's really bad.
So you have this record. It ends up going super viral, obviously through the remix with Labyrinth, but it also started overseas, right? On different, it was like Swedish TikTok or some random, I don't know. It, like random companies started, what?
I have no, I didn't have TikTok until like 2 months ago because all my fans were like, P, your song is blowing up on TikTok. You have to get a TikTok. And I was like, that's not really my thing. Like I'm kind of like a ride or die or Vine. So I was like, I was like, I don't really care about this. I don't really want to see people dancing to songs that I don't like. But TikTok is more than that. I know now, but I was under the impression that it was just like dancing things. And like, personally, that's not something that I would sit around watching for hours, just personally. So I was like, but I just got it. So like, I don't really know where it came from or why someone found it and slowed it down and made it the thing that it was. And I'm grateful to that person because I was really concerned about how I was going to pay my bills this year without being able to tour or like really do anything. Like we all were concerned about how we're going to, you know, keep feeding ourselves. But I'm grateful, but I don't know. From. I don't know who did it. I don't know who did it, but that person, thanks.
Big thanks.
Have you got to talk to Labyrinth at all about maybe like a collaboration or like an official remix or something?
No, I mean, I'm a fan of Labyrinth and I have been for years. So I was kind of scared. I was like, I want to reach out and bother this man, but there is a Feel Something collaboration happening, but not with him. Because I also was like, that might be too obvious, you know? As much as I would be honored to make a different song with Labyrinth, because I think he's one of the most talented artists that I can think of. Like, I'm obsessed with him. I didn't want to be so predictable and be like, oh, let's actually make a version of Feel Something or of his song together. Like, I was like, nah. Like, the people have already had enough of that through TikTok. I'm going to make a different Feel Something collaboration. And maybe one day I can hit up Labyrinth and be like, hey, remember me? We blew up on TikTok together and we can make something.
So you said you had the EP already done before this went viral?
Yeah.
So
yeah, it hasn't been mastered. Like we just finalized all the like the versions of the songs that are going to come out, but it wasn't mastered fully until probably even like a few weeks ago we finished the last one, but it was just because we kind of put it on the back burner. All the songs have been written since like the end of last year. Like all of them have been completed and like we had decided like these are the ones that, you know, we like the most and that we want to release. But then obviously, you know, this year hit and we were like, how the f- are we supposed to make content for all these songs? What is the procedure on this? Should we be like, what should we do? And everyone had to, you know, everyone on my team had to go home and no one could go in the office and no one could work. And it was really obviously a complicated time for us as it was for everybody. And then once, you know, people started figuring out, okay, we can actually, this is how we're going to work from home and this is how we're going to record these things, this is how we're going to deal with this. Once that started happening, we were like, oh, maybe now we're back on track to release the EP. We'll release it in like August or something.
Then you
that was when something started blowing up. So then we were like, oh, well, like now we're about to like refocus on the EP and release it in the summer. But then, you know, now then we had to focus on the Feel Something thing. So
was there no want for you to go back and retool the EP knowing what, and I don't want to say what works, but to see what people are gravitating to?
I've never cared about that. I'm not gonna be a dick. I feel like my fans like what I put out typically no matter what, because they like what I have to say because they're similar to me and they usually can relate to whatever I'm talking about. And I feel like as long as I don't stray too far from like stylistically, like musically what I know they've liked in the past, I feel like they'll support me in it. And, you know, hopefully I'll make some new fans along the way. And yeah, maybe I'll drop a couple if I make something that they don't, you know, love. But for the most part, I feel like a lot of my fans are ride or die. So they, you know, I don't write things to be like, oh, this is going to work because that one worked. Or like, you know, I've definitely been in sessions before where writers or producers try to emulate.
Yeah, what's out there? By the way, there's probably somebody out there emulating you, yo. Somebody's like, oh, this song is doing well. Let's try to figure it out.
That's a weird thought. I haven't really thought about that. Like, I wonder if someone's in the studio would be like, oh, this song did well. Let's try to, like, make this type of vibe. Probably not, though, because I didn't, like, invent a whole new sound with Feel Something. Feel Something is, like, a pretty, like, basic song, to be honest. Like, I love it because I've made it, but, you know, it's nothing special, in my opinion. But yeah, I've definitely worked with people who are like, let's try to make something that sounds like this because this is what's working right now. And I'm always like, nah. And then sometimes I leave the session because I'm just like, I just can't. I don't want to do this. I just make whatever I like and whatever I feel and kind of hope the best. So I actually didn't stop and be like, okay, now that Feel Something is working, let's try to reproduce everything or rewrite things to sound more like that because that's what people like and that's what's sticking. I was just like, nah, we already made what I love and let's just see how it goes.
I like how you just admitted that you don't think it's special. A lot of people will be like, oh, my song's the greatest thing in the world. It's the best thing I've ever done. You're like, nah, nothing special here.
It's not like the most generic song, but it's also not the most like creative song. It's literally just me being like, I just want to feel something. Like it's, and we're not using any sounds that nobody's ever heard before. It's just, you know, it is what it is. Well, I'm a self-deprecating person also though. This is something that I've struggled with for most of my life.
You deserve this success, dude. One, you.
It's like so many people, you know?
Oh, shut up. You've been playing this game for a very long time. You've been playing this game consistently. You've been playing this game honestly, being completely and totally yourself every step of the way. I mean, you've done a lot of things for the long haul, dude. So it wasn't, this was not an overnight anything. Like, this was, I mean, yes, it blew up essentially overnight, but I don't know. It's a testament to always batting consistently and always putting out quality art consistently because you never know when it's going to pop off. Honestly.
I honestly was starting to reach a point where I was like, it's never going to happen. Like I've been doing this for 7 years.
That's the conversation we had on my balcony, dude. And then I think you wrote this song within that window, like a couple months later.
Around that time. Yeah.
Yeah. But why don't you think it was popping off? Was that a you thing? Was that a sound? Was that the lyrics? Was that a label thing? Was that a management? Like, what was it?
I think it's just about breaking through. Like, there's so much noise, and it's so easy for anyone to release music now, which is great in some ways, because there are a lot of brilliant people who haven't been given an opportunity until, you know, SoundCloud and things like that existed in YouTube, where you could just kind of create and post whatever you want. But in other ways, it's really difficult because it's, you know, because it creates more noise that you have to compete with. And it's like I'm torn because I'm a fan of so many of these, you know, random people that I've found through the internet. But also as an artist, I'm like, but wait, could y'all stop for just 1 minute so I could get my moment maybe? And it's really hard. I feel like the more time that goes on, the more the music industry expands accidentally through the internet. And you know, in like the 70s, it was like you have to have a record label in order for people to hear your songs. That was just how it worked. And now it's like anybody can do anything at any time and like find a fan base for that. Okay. So it's like you have to be able to connect. I feel like it's not that hard to connect with people once they hear your message, but to get them to hear your message is really, really difficult because there's so much going on all the time that it's like, how are they supposed to just focus on, you know, giving you even 3 minutes of their life? It's, you know, it's hard. Because TikTok helped me break through, now I feel like I have more of a platform to speak to people. So now I think it will start getting better, but it's really, really hard. I've been trying for years. It's really, really hard to like connect to a large group of people.
So now that you have people's attention, is there pressure on making sure the EP is right? Because now you have them.
Oh, I've had many panic attacks recently, just like, this is like my one shot and I don't want to blow it. That's how I keep viewing this. You could ask anybody on my team, any of my friends. I just keep being like, this was like a gift that was sent to me from some rando on TikTok who decided to use my song for something. And then all the other people who followed in their footsteps. And this does not just happen to anybody. You know, people pay TikTokers to like use their songs for things. And I didn't have to like pay anybody to do anything. It just all genuinely happened. And that is just such a lucky gift that I was given. And so I constantly get stressed out about like, okay, now that this once in a lifetime thing has happened, I didn't have to work for it. And it just connected.
Yeah, but you did work for it. You did create a great song.
I did. And when I was working for it, the song went nowhere, you know? So, and that's how it's been my whole life. When I work my ass off, nobody cares. And it feels all, that's also like, I'm grateful that I was just doing nothing and then my song started blowing up. It also kind of felt, I was like, damn, I've been working so hard for so long.
To get this is it.
Turns out all I need to do is sit around and wait for somebody else to do it for me, which like, I know sounds kind of for me to say that, but like, I was kind of upset. I was like, I worked so hard and nobody cares. And now all of a sudden somebody else is like, wait, but look at this song. And now everyone cares. I was like, maybe I should just sit on my ass more often.
Yeah, but B, we've known you for years, and I've never seen you as somebody who, like, wasn't successful. Like, we've had you on, you get numbers, people are streaming your music, you sell tickets. So you're making it seem like not a single person in the world is listening to your music.
No, yeah, obviously, like, I'm one of those people where it's like, nothing is ever enough. It's like, every time I reach a milestone, I'm like, okay, it's not good enough. We gotta get to the next step and the next thing. I'm always just so worried about, like, you know, being broke and having no success and no life, and I have really bad anxiety, and I didn't go to college or really even high school, so like, if this doesn't work out for me, like, I don't really know what to do. So I'm constantly stressed about that, and like, of course I'm eternally grateful to all my fans who've been around for years, but I just didn't have very consistent growth until recently. I kind of was able to maintain, luckily for me, like the real ones who've been around for, you know, even 5, 6, 7 years. But for the most part, like, gaining new fans has been a very, very slow process for me until now, which
is
like,
I was gonna say, until recently. And now Wisdom Teeth was very high in the playlisting when it released last week. It got a lot of looks, dude. Great job.
I have some friends who believe in me in places that it's nice to have friends who believe in you.
Yeah, which, by the way, like, they're betting on the right horse. They're believing in the right person. They're believing
maybe. We'll see. Don't jinx it. You gotta relax.
Maybe. Have you played them the EP?
Have I played who?
These people that trust in you, your
actually today I had a Zoom meeting with a couple of people, you know, different like music outlets, and I was just like, hey guys, here are my videos for two of my new songs that are coming out, and here are the songs, and here's this like remix version that we did to Feel Something, and like, we just wanted to let you know that this is happening. And you know, they seemed they were very nice about it. Who knows, in their mind they could have been like, this sucks, but they outwardly were like, this is great, thanks for sharing. And they were really nice to like sit and like spend their morning with me listening to that. So I have played a few people at different streaming platforms, like my new songs, even like a year or two or year and a half ago. I like physically went into like Apple Music and Spotify and a couple other places, and I was like, here's some of the stuff I've been working on, just so you guys are aware. And then, you know, because of, you know, other people, I was not able to release those things at the time. But now I'm grateful. In the past, I was like, damn, like, I can't release all this because my label's like, but wait, we have to be like, but this has to be in place, and this, and this, and this. And it takes so long to release music. But now I'm glad because I have new music, well, it's new to the world, that like, I already wrote pre-quarantine. So like, I haven't had to worry about how the f*** am I going to make music this year. So now I'm glad. But at the time, I was annoyed. But I've been playing the new stuff.
Have you been writing at all?
For a while. I mean, you see my keyboards. But that's the whole thing with Feel Something, isn't it? That nobody has any like real experiences to connect to right now. So what am I supposed to say? I feel like we're all aware of how much quarantine sucks. We're all aware of how scary and it is to be alive, and especially a young person right now. We're all aware of like politically all the that's happening, and it's just like a really awful time to be alive. And everybody knows that. So I don't really feel like me sitting around being like, everything sucks is going to help anybody. It's not going to do anything for anybody. And I have nothing else to talk about. I have no love interests. I haven't been seeing my friends. I haven't been adventuring and exploring. I haven't been touring. I haven't been doing anything. So I have nothing new to say. So I'm lucky that I have music that will be new for everybody else that I wrote back when I could actually be inspired by literally anything. So well, what am I going to say? Nobody needs another song about being quarantine. In quarantine. No one needs that.
You could write a you could write a presidential anthem for the new president, hopefully, on November 3rd.
I actually have a song that kind of spills some tea.
Oh.
It's not like very direct, but I do mention like how am I supposed to work on myself when there are people like that in the White House and like living in hell, like maybe I should see a therapist, the apocalypse is gonna kill us all, which I actually wrote before the apocalypse. I wrote that line. It's literally maybe I should see a therapist that the apocalypse is probably going to take us out, which is kind of a bar, in my opinion. But I wrote that long before I knew that quarantine was going to happen. So maybe I cursed us all. I don't know. Now it's more relevant than ever. So I do have like some songs that like jab politically.
Will that song make it to the EP?
Yeah, it's coming out October 23rd.
Do we have a name?
Ooh, I don't know. I don't know what I can tell you.
Ooh.
You know what? It's called Hallelujah, that song. The EP is, but like the EP is also called Elated, but it's just very sarcastic because all the songs are like, everything kind of sucks. So it's like sarcastic, like I'm elated, I'm so happy right now. And the Hallelujah is the same thing where it's like, Hallelujah, ? I don't know, because everything sucks. You'll see. It'll make sense when you hear it.
So are you telling a story top to bottom?
Hmm?
Are you telling one story with this whole project? Like if I listen top to bottom, or are each song kind of standalone?
In terms of like the way that I put the songs in order on the EP, it's more about like the experience of like the production and how that pairs together, and less about like the lyrics being in some kind of order, which I have done in the past. My last album was like lyrically, I spent hours sitting down and being like, what order do I need to tell this story in? Where like lyrically, it's a complete start to finish. But on this one, it's less of a lyrical story, more of like a musical experience, in my opinion. But I think each song, I think, pairs together really nicely in terms of like the messaging, but they're all about different topics.
Created in a totally different space than Feel Something, so different sonics.
The production, I think that the production on this EP is a natural progression from like my previous stuff. Like I think that if you listen to my old stuff and then you listen to the new stuff, it makes sense that it's from the same person, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But it doesn't sound the same at all. Like, I don't know how to really express
That's
it. Like,
right.
It's a progression that you can understand and consume without being overwhelmed by it, but it's not the same thing whatsoever.
You're never being refed. No, that's perfect. That's exactly what you want. Like, that's what people strive for.
I feel really good about it. I really like the new stuff. I sometimes sit in my car and I bump it and I'm like, eh.
You sit in the Jetta and you just tongue
it out. Yes, I still have that stupid Jetta. I hate it. I'm never getting a German car ever again. I'm so sorry to anybody who may be German watching this. It's not your fault, but your cars are not my fave.
Well, Volkswagen, the people's car created by Hitler. It's the reason why I will not get a Volkswagen or a Beetle.
What?
Yes. The Beetle was Volkswagen, I'm pretty sure, means people's car. And it was created by Hitler back during, I think, before the World War.
You're lying.
No.
Hitler did not create car. Are you dead ass?
I'm dead ass. Dan, are you Googling it?
Oh my God, I really have to get rid of my car.
Volkswagen does mean the People's Car Company. I'm going to fact check the Hitler part.
But if it was, then he only means a very certain type of people. Oh my God.
Oh.
Very certain type of people.
I think he may be somewhat right. On May 28th, 1937, the government of Germany, then under the control of Adolf Hitler, forms a new state-owned automobile company, then known as whatever the German word is for it, but
Volkswagen or something.
Holy you guys. Okay, well, I don't like my Jetta anyway. I don't stand. I don't like how stiff it is anyway. I don't like it. The brakes and the gas are too abrupt. They're too sensitive. Like, I slightly tap the gas and my car just, like, lurches over. It's really uncomfortable for anybody else driving me. I hate it. I like my Corolla a lot better. So, you know what? We don't stand. I'm so sorry that I got this car without realizing the negative connotations behind it. I had no idea.
You know, a lot of people do not know. And
my lease is up in March. So, after that, we're done with Volkswagen.
Oh, my God. Congratulations. Mazel.
Yeah, thanks. I've had it for 2.5 years. I'm so over it. I hate it.
B, I think you could write some songs about a relationship you have that's not going well, but the relationship is your car.
With my car.
What do you do when you find out your car was a Nazi?
I write like this really aggressive song and I was like, damn, she must really be miserable in this relationship. Like, this person that she's talking about is an asshole. And it's actually my God. Honestly, maybe I need some inspiration anyway.
It can come from anywhere.
Yeah.
I really do appreciate your Halloween decorations. Oh my gosh. Hi, puppy.
He's sitting on the floor looking at me. He's like,
question. You keep talking about how you have no inspiration now, but what inspired Wisdom Teeth? I like the little play on words you got going on there.
Oh, thanks. I wrote Wisdom Teeth a long time ago. This is what I'm saying. It's like, to my fans, this music is new. To everybody else, this music is new. But it's actually really kind of old at this point. I wrote all of it pre-quarantine. So it's been at least a year since most of these songs have been written. And Wisdom Teeth was actually the first song I wrote back in the studio once I got my wisdom teeth pulled out. I got all four at once. I was miserable. I couldn't eat or speak or do anything for like 2 weeks. I couldn't go to the studio because I couldn't sing. Like, what the fuck was I going to do? So the first day that I was back in the studio, I was with like some of my friends, writing with some of my friends that day. And I was just telling them about my experience getting my teeth pulled out. And I was saying that I thought it was really weird because it was one of those things where, like, obviously I'm not old, but like it made me feel kind of older and like weird, because when I was a kid, I remember, like a little kid, I remember like looking at, like hearing about people getting their wisdom teeth pulled and be like, oh, like that's really far away from me. Like that's like something that like older people have to do. So like, I'm not worried about that. And obviously, like I said, I'm not old, but like it just made me feel weird and like nostalgic that like, every time I reach something like that, or when I was younger, I was like, oh, like I don't have to deal with that for a long time. Whenever that kind of thing happens in my life, it's very strange. Like 18th birthday, 21st birthday, wisdom teeth pulled out, like paying, getting your first car, paying certain bills. It's just like, as you reach each of these milestones, it just makes you feel kind of like nostalgic towards like your childhood. Maybe that's just me.
No.
But I just kind of saying that when I was like, this is one of those things where like, I just feel so far from like who I, like myself as a child. And it kind of sucks because I think that life is a lot more beautiful when you're a kid sometimes, because you're not influenced by like being a person functioning in society yet. You're not influenced by like what you should and shouldn't do, what you can and can't do, and like, you know, what's right and wrong in terms of, you know, how you make other people feel, instead of just being like, how do I feel? And I think that like obviously those things are important, but at the same time, like you lose a lot of what I think is really good as you get older. You kind of lose touch with that. And it was just one of those things. I went to the studio and I was like, you guys, I feel really weird about getting my teeth pulled out and I don't know why.
It turned out to be an amazing story and a really unique way to kind of capture that feeling, because it's true. By the way, I've been refusing to get my wisdom teeth out.
Does it not hurt? See, mine's are, I have like a short mouth. I put on my dating profiles, just like, hey, hit me up. But my teeth started growing where like the base was going into the back of my jaw. Like, they were growing like in, so it was like shooting these pains up my face and like, oh, and I hurt so bad.
They were growing like this.
Yeah, they were going like tops, like bottoms facing, like the little pointy parts on the bottom are like going towards the back of my mouth.
Wow. See, and mine are on a slant, but going towards the opening of my mouth.
Yeah, so maybe you must just have a bigger mouth, I guess.
I got a big old mouth.
I feel like most people don't get them pulled until they start giving them problems. I was expecting at least a couple more years before it started hurting. But like right when those grew in, I felt it and I was like, they gotta go.
Well, I've had pain before. I just put up with it. I'm just very nervous about it, but I should do it.
Not that bad. It's when it's happening, it's kind of fun because you're just loopy. Like, I don't remember how I got into my apartment. I don't know how my friend, who's like another small female, got me from the dentist into the car, up the stairs of my apartment and onto my couch, because I don't remember any of that happening. I remember being at the dentist and then being on my couch. And I truly don't know. I must have been like, woo! And I don't know how the she got me all the way up into my house, to be honest. The first few days is horrible because you like watch people eating crunchy stuff and you're like, ow, like how could you possibly do that? Like you feel like you're never going to be able to eat anything besides mashed potatoes ever again because it just hurts so bad and the holes are so like raw, but then it's fine. Then it's fine and then it's done and then you get to keep your teeth and it's kind of cool.
So you still have them?
Yeah, I used them in my music video and in a TikTok that I made the other day, which people were very horrified by. But in my music video, I put them in my mouth and then I like spit them out.
Ew. Those are real teeth?
First, though. I brushed them with my toothbrush and made sure they were nice and clean. And I was scared I was going to swallow one. Imagine having to like your tooth. That'd be so But I brushed them and I put that. I was like, this will be cool for the video.
I thought those were fake teeth you were holding in the video.
Those are all four of my real teeth. Those are my real wisdom teeth. I might get them made into like a necklace or something. Maybe some earrings.
Yeah, that's cute. Toe ring.
I'll make one for each of you. You can have one of my teeth.
Oh, that would be an honor. Thank you so much.
Can you tell me about the line, why am I so stupid, used to be so smart? I see a lot of people connecting and liking that line.
Because I feel like you might get wiser as you get older because you gain more experiences and like you become an adult, you have to like, but at the same time, the older we get, like I was saying before, the more we disconnect with ourselves in a weird way. Like, and if we are connecting with ourselves, it's not in like a positive way most of the time. Most of the time, at least for me and a lot of people I know, it's very much like an anxious, like, oh, I looked like that all night. Or like, oh, like, I don't, like, this isn't good. I gotta fix this and I gotta do that. And I'm so worried about all these tasks I have to do. And, you know, you lose more of the positive connection that you have with yourself as a kid. And I feel like you're smarter when you're younger in some ways because you don't care as much about what other people think of you because you haven't been taught that yet. I remember when I was younger, I remember specific moments where I truly have memories when I was like probably 7, where I would look in the mirror and be like, wow, I'm so pretty. Imagine not being pretty. Like, wow, lucky me. What the? Can you imagine thinking that now? I never look in the mirror now and think, wow, like I'm so mad. Like I look in the mirror and I'm like, ooh, like that's what's going on for me today. Like when I was, like when we're young, we're not taught by anybody that we need to meet a certain standard for like how we want to live our lives. And as long as we're not hurting other people, we're just enjoying ourselves. And that to me is much smarter in its own way than being older and being like, oh, worried about everything that you're doing all the time.
You're less judgmental.
Yeah. You're less judgmental of other people and of yourself and more just like, I'm just going to do what makes me happy. And as long as you're not harming anybody, like that's just kind of all you do as a kid. And there's like a weird brilliance in that, but it's because it's not even on purpose. It's like, you're not even trying and you just feel so much better about yourself. And it's, I don't know. There's something really, really brilliant about that, in my opinion.
So what are you saying? You want to live a life as a female Peter Pan?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want to grow up. It's not fun. Every single time I, like, you know, like, really think about it, I'm like, damn, it is that when we're kids, like, our parents are always like, you don't want to grow up. Like, trust me. We're like, no, we want to be older so we can be, I want to eat dessert all day. But then it sucks when you get older and you're like, damn, mom was right. This is horrible. Yeah. I wish I could just go back to sitting around and having my mom feed me 3 meals a day and just, you know, around at school with my friends and just doing math. It's like, you have no real responsibilities. Like, yeah, maybe doing some math homework, but like,
and as somebody who eats dessert all day, it's really not all that it's chalked up to be.
No, it's not. Then you're sitting around later and you're like, ooh, I don't feel very good.
Yeah, kind of. Unless you just eat so much of it that you just, again, you get numb and then you're looking to feel something again.
Yeah, you just like eat yourself into a food coma and you're like,
oblivion of ice cream. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dude, I'm thinking about buying ice cream in bulk.
Chips, though. I could finish a full bag of hot Cheetos, which I know I can't do because, like, didn't Lil Xan or somebody have to go to the hospital because he ate too many hot Cheetos and, like, burned a hole in his stomach?
Yeah, it was Lil Xan.
Yeah. Honestly, if I were him, I'd be like, put that on my gravestone when I die. Ate too many hot Cheetos once. Had to go to the hospital because I love spicy foods.
It's either an honor or a great embarrassment.
Yeah, I'll have hot Cheetos like sponsor my funeral.
And the funeral B mill are sponsored by Justin the Cheeto.
Exactly. He like comes out in his costume and like crying. He's like, hey guys, that'd be so funny.
Everybody's going home with a bag of flaming hot Cheetos.
Yeah.
In memory of B. Miller.
That's what I would do if I were him.
It's like your obituary is on like a back of a snack size bag or something. It's a good idea. Save that. You should send that to your team. Send that pitch over. You're gonna just make it clear to them that to pay for my funeral, sponsor out.
Yep. White Claws and hot Cheetos. Let's get it popping. They'll sponsor my funeral.
Offset funeral costs with sponsorship.
An influencer would actually do, to be honest. Oh, like fake their own deaths. They get like and be like, all they ever wanted was this, you know, brand to send them stuff, and then they're like actually surprised we're alive now, have all this free, and they make like a video about it where they're like, pranked everyone. I pranked hot Cheetos. They thought I was dead.
I got you.
Huh? Got your ass. That's like do.
Yeah, it's sad. And you really don't like that stuff. So it is ironic that TikTok is what's brought you all this attention. I love it so much.
Oh, such a mess.
B, I was looking at your Instagram earlier. It looks like you got a lot of new tattoos since we've seen you. Can you give us a little tattoo tour?
The only ones that I've gotten recently because of quarantine were I got a little devil and a little angel on my shoulder because you know how that's like a thing people do sometimes to like pop up on their I've just never seen anybody do that before and I thought it was kind of funny.
I love that.
I got like a little bun on my neck. I got it's been a while since I've seen you guys. I don't even know this one. I feel like you probably haven't seen. This is just a flash tattoo. I just thought she was pretty, so I was like, fuck it. This one I got in London, little skeleton man.
I love the skeleton one.
That's one of my favorite ones, and it's one of the only ones I didn't plan. Like I was just in London and I was like, it like let's get a tattoo. It was me and Jams who's here, but she's got her little screen up, but we both wanted to get tattoos in London like last year, the year before, and we just found like some spots near us and we just went, and I just walked in. I told the guy that I wanted some flowers, like some big flowers here, and then I was like, can I look at your flash tattoos, like your pre-drawn ones, like while you're setting up? So I was just like looking through and I saw this, but he was like this big. I saw this and I was like, wait, this is hard, but can I get it this big? And he looks at me up and down and he's like, you want it this big? So I'm like 5 feet tall and like this really small person. He was like, are you sure? Like, this is a very last minute decision that's gonna be permanent. And I was like, no, dude, just f me up, let's go. And it's one of my favorite ones. At first I was like, what did I do? It's so big. And now I'm like, it's so good. He killed him. I got lucky. He could have been the worst tattoo artist. I didn't look him up before I went there.
So that's a huge risk.
So you went in for roses and you got a skeleton instead.
Mm-hmm. That's just very me. I feel like that's just very like, oh yeah, that makes sense for B to do that.
Is that a little cat on your knee?
I clearly love spooky things.
Is that a little cat right there?
Cat?
On your arm? Your lower arm?
This?
What is that? Oh, what is that? A cheetah?
It's a jaguar.
Oh, sick. So, yeah, it is a cat. That's cool. Yeah. I like that. You got tattoos.
They have the, thanks. They have the strongest bite for their size, which I kind of like. Like, they're one of the smaller big cats, but they have the strongest bite. And because I'm so small, I kind of like that metaphor where I was like, yeah, like, I may be small, but I'm still mighty. So that's why I got that.
Mama's got a strong bite.
Yeah. Sounds like a lyric to me.
Don't think so. Maybe you guys
try to jam that one on the piano.
Yeah. Mom's got a strong bite for a small body. Yeah.
That sucks.
My next single. Keep an eye out.
Don't do that. EP coming.
Mm-hmm.
October 23rd. Please listen to it. Also, Feel Something. Link in the description, but you probably have heard it many, many times.
I mean, if you've ever been on TikTok, I'm sure.
If you've been on that TikTok machine, you've heard it.
Mm-hmm.
B. Miller, I appreciate you. Daniel Zolot, do you have any final thoughts?
The only other thought I have is I still think Aurora is a great album.
Really?
I really did like that one.
I don't feel like anybody really cared about it at the time. And now I'm kind of over it because I'm like, eh, like that was a long time ago. But I do appreciate that because I feel like there are so many songs on that album that I was like, this smacks, and nobody ever cared. And some of those things, like I do them live, and my fans who are like my diehards still are like, eh, this isn't really one of our favorites. And I'm like,
are there any songs that you wish would blow up on TikTok that you already have put out into the world? Like, if the people could go back and listen to two or three songs that you've already put out.
It's Not You, It's Me. It was one of my best songs I ever wrote. And we also got Black on that, and that was sick because he's so cool. I think that one was severely, like, overlooked, like, criminally overlooked. I think that song, I like that song personally better than I like Feel Something. And I thought it was going to do, like, so well, and then nobody cared. But also, I have this one song on Aurora called Outside that I have always loved. It's, like, always been one of my favorite songs. And I think it's also super relevant now, but also, like, in the opposite way, where it's, like, before we didn't really, like, want to do that. I was just like, yeah, like, I just kind of want to sit on my ass all day. And now I'm like, damn, I would do anything to just, like, go run around outside without a mask on and just, like, live my life. But I think that one is really sick. It's one of my favorite ones performed live. There are a lot of things like that, though, where it's, like, you put things out. I love a sick song with Jesse Reyes, and, like, I love it, and like other people not so much, and it's just like kind of, but that's just what you can expect as an artist, is that like you'll always be partial to certain things because you know what the story is behind them, and
yeah,
you are excited by them for your own reasons, and other people will never know those reasons or understand, even if they do know them. So it's like, what can you really do? Sometimes you think that songs are going to be huge and they don't go anywhere, and the ones that you think nobody are going to care about are the ones that do the best. So
and okay. Feel Something falls under that category. Yeah,
I mean, I love feel something is one of the few songs of mine that's like one of the bigger songs that I have that I actually love, but there are a couple songs that like were bigger that I was like, this doesn't make any sense. I have better songs than this.
Like what? Gold? Which songs are you referring to?
Like Slut. Like that song, I'm just like, ugh, like that makes me think of like 14-year-olds. Like I like me being like a little kid. Like I can't. Which, like, you know, the message behind it is sick, but at this point, I'm like, it's corny to me now. At this point, I'm like, I wish I could just wipe that song from my career, which I can't do because I know my fans love it, and, like, it does have a meaning that I still stand behind, but it's just so, like, corny. And what sucks about, like, all the streaming services is you can't change your top, like, five most listened to songs. I can't call up Spotify and be like, yo, can you, like, take Slut out of there and put Wisdom Teeth up there instead?
No,
like,
Slut is in there, isn't it?
It's in my top five. It's, like, the third most, and I can't get rid of it. And that sucks because anytime someone discovers my music through, like, Feel Something or whatever, they're going to come and listen to, like, the most popular songs, and they're going to listen to Slut. And I'm like, oh, God, like, I hate that song now. I hate it. I think it's so corny and so, like, not me anymore. And I think there were so many songs that I released at the same time, like around that time, that were way cooler than that one. But you can never choose what other people are going to like. So I guess I just got to be grateful that something is working, whether I'm excited about it or not.
Dude, there are a lot. That is a great song too.
I Can't Breathe and Repercussions are both fantastic.
Thanks. Those ones are really, not I Can't Breathe, but Repercussions is really fun to do live.
Yeah, and well, I Can't Breathe has like the strings in it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like the slow ballad, is there some strings at the end?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
I think that one, a lot of people definitely like that one a lot.
Hopefully the new EP will get super big and everybody will love it and they'll go back and see what they've missed in the past.
Hopefully, and hopefully something on the EP will wipe Slut right off the top of my most streamed song. Just
Fire and Gold should replace Slut, please.
Oh, God. Fire and Gold is another where I'm like, damn it. I think every artist probably has like at least one of those songs where it's like, I'm so over this song. It's so old. I don't care about it anymore. I'm sick of it. But because my fans love it, it's one of my biggest songs in my career, I'm just going to sing it every day for the rest of my life. Like, I'm sure that every artist has at least one of those songs. People like, you know, Drake or Taylor Swift, people who have had, like, massive success. With
Dude, Ariana has
They're probably so over it. Yeah. So over it. Like, if I were, like, some of my own favorite artists, I wouldn't want to sing the songs that are my favorite. Like, if I was, like, you know, Frank Ocean, I wouldn't want to keep singing, you know, anything really from Channel Orange. I feel like I'd be over it. But as a fan, I'm like, wait, you got to play all the songs. If I were him, I'd be like, no more Thinking About You. It's just not happening. You know, I feel like we all have those songs. Fire and Gold is that for me, where I know I'm going to have to sing it for, like, probably the rest of my career, because it's just one of those, and I hate it. If I could just never hear it again, I would be fine with that.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah, whatever. Whatever. We'll see. Maybe the new music will change your mind. Maybe you'll be like, oh, if she could do this, then Fire and Gold is done.
Feed me, yo. Feed me. October 23rd, the EP is coming. B. Miller, everybody.
This podcast is part of the Zach Sang Show Podcast Network.